I think it's safe to say that we are a competitive people. We like competition. Today's a day of some national competition when your pastor, Father Gillespie's hometown of Philadelphia, competes against, I don't know, is it a team in Connecticut or Massachusetts? It's kind of hard to remember because you never hear anything about that other team. But competition is somehow woven in us. We compete against each other in athletic arenas. We compete politically. And there's even competition in families. Children can compete with their parents. The story I'm going to say is what we call apocryphal. Apocryphal means it may not be true, but it probably happened. Of the father who tries to say to his children that he had it harder when he was young. And he says it was harder because when he was their age, he had to walk uphill both ways to school in the snow. And the kids say, "Dad, you grew up in Florida." And the father says back to them, "Yeah, but that was before global warming." And it goes back and forth when the father says he's going to prevail. We understand competition. And there's one other area where I fear people seek to compete, and that is who suffers the most. You think you have it hard, I have it harder. And that's what we encounter in the first reading from Job. Job has become the quintessential book on human suffering. It seeks to teach us why we suffer, especially those who feel that they suffer unjustly. But what I find interesting is how the story is told. It's not just a lecture that appears on PowerPoint or, fancier yet, Prezi. It's a story, a narrative right out of J.R. Tolkien. In the prologue of the book of Job, it's God versus the devil, the great matchup, good versus evil. And the devil says, "I think I could win one of yours over. Look at Job." And God says, "Job is my most faithful servant." And the devil says back to God, "Well, of course Job is your most faithful servant. You've blessed him with a lovely wife, lovely children, a beautiful home, enough to eat. Take that away and see how loyal Job is." Well, God says, "I will enter this competition with you, evil," and takes away Job's family, takes away Job's wealth. Job is left with nothing. And Job scores one for God. Because when all of this is taken away, Job says the most famous quote, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, if I were God, I would go like this, look at the devil and go, Well, the devil's not about to concede and says, "Well, take more away from him. Disfigure him, cause him physical pain and suffering. Let his every step, his every breath give him anguish." If you've ever been to the doctor and they touch you and say, "Where is this on the pain index, 1 to 10? The devil's saying, "Let him live in the world of pain between 9 and 10. Well, it's not so easy for Job now to say, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord." And we're treated to some 30 chapters of Job's lament, words which we heard in today's first reading, when Job says, "Have you, Lord, committed me to a life of drudgery?" But what was so interesting about Job is that he laments, he wails, he cries, he pleads to the Lord for mercy, but he never denies the Lord. He never questions the love, the existence, the mercy of God. And if you make it all the way to the end of the book of Job, you will see God once again able to say to evil, "Good and love always triumph over evil." What does that have to teach us today? I think we have to ask ourselves, we are all suffering something right now. There's not one in this church who's not suffering something. And amidst that suffering, Do we lament as Job did, remembering that lament comes etymologically from the Latin meaning to wail, to cry out? Or do we whine? Do we complain? And the fundamental difference is this. When we whine or complain, we are looking for someone to blame. We are taking our pain and we're putting it somewhere out there and saying, it's your fault. When we lament like Job, when we whine, we offer God our pain. We lay ourselves bare before God and so make ourselves dependent upon God. I remember once in a church meeting a woman who claimed she had suffered more than anyone. And when I asked her, how much have you suffered? She looked at me and she says, I read the book of Job for a pick-me-up. That's what I call happy reading. One in her column. She would make the half-game show in tonight's game, I can assure you. But what is the answer? Well, the answer always comes from Jesus, and that's why we have the power of the gospel. What is Jesus doing in the gospel? Jesus is healing. Jesus is curing. Jesus is saving. And in his fatigue, when Jesus goes off and the disciples say, my God, everybody's asking about you, Jesus says in response, well, then let us go. Let us go to every nearby town and village to bring peace, consolation, and hope to the afflicted and the weary. Jesus does not come to take away our pain. Jesus does not come to prevent us from suffering. Jesus does not come with some divine plan to alter our world. Rather, Jesus enters into our world, into our suffering, into our pain, and comforts us. And just as Jesus went to every town and village in the gospel, Jesus comes to every heart in this church, in this city, and in this world. If we only say yes and believe. If Job could suffer 30 some chapters of lament, we all have a chapter in us, a chapter or two, that Jesus, in his most loving embrace, is ready and willing to receive.